Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you again for this opportunity to come and worship you on such a morning. And we ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would cause us to hear your still small voice. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. Do you know who this... Go to the next screen, Mike. Do you know who this person on the screen is? Oh, no struggles? Go to the next screen, Mike. You may know Isaiah Thomas as a basketball star for the Detroit Pistons in the 80s and early 90s. Before that, he was a star for the Indiana Hoosiers, who won the national championship under Coach Bobby Knight. I heard this story about Isaiah, about his early days in Chicago. Did you know he was one of nine siblings? He was the youngest of nine siblings. His mother worked as best she could, but the refrigerator was often bare, and Isaiah would, along with his brothers and two sisters, would oftentimes be out on the street looking for food. It even said that he would look at wrappers for stuck cheese to it so that he might find something to eat. He would also shine shoes, making a little money, and he would hope to get home before being robbed. It was that kind of a neighborhood. One of his older brothers took Isaiah when he was very young and helped him to learn how to play the game of basketball, which he took to. While one of his other brothers took to the streets to make money selling drugs and eventually becoming addicted. It was with the help of his one brother, though, who set an example for Isaiah. He showed Isaiah that he could not only find freedom from the streets, but also find hope and security for his future. He showed him how if he committed himself to basketball, he could find success. Get this next verse from Sports Illustrated. Thomas said this, "I'm in love with basketball. It's my release. It's my outlet. If I get mad, I go shoot. It's my freedom. It's my security. It's my drug. It's my high." That last quote, my release, outlet, freedom, security, my drug, my high. I wonder if the same could be said for Christians with God. God is my release. I go to him in prayer often. God is my outlet. I delve into his word. God sets me free to be who he created me to be. I am secure in Christ and I do not need to bend to the world. God is my drug. I feel the fullness of life when I'm intentionally with God. Taking hold of the life I was meant to live, when I align my life with God, I am obedient then to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I believe for some Christians who have asked Jesus to be their Savior, who have received the Holy Spirit, they do not truly understand this freedom that God has given us to take hold of life, the life that God has given to us, to take hold of this life that is truly life. One of the barriers I think most Christians experience, which keeps them from this life that God wants us to take hold of, is this: it's disobedience to God. What we call sin. We know that God is forgiving. We hear that God's grace, His unmerited favor. Cannot be earned is available to Christians. It cleanses us when we are unclean. It draws us back to God when we are far from God. Some believers in Jesus might say, live life to the full, seeking all that the world has to give you, and then ask God for forgiveness later. It will be all right. It's like that saying, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is for permission, right? But this isn't what God really wants for us. It isn't the life that God really calls life. It isn't the freedom that God wants us to experience. The Apostle Paul put it this way in his letter to the Romans. Read it with me. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. You see, the grace of God is there for us when we are disobedient. It's not meant to be poured out in increasing measure so that we can be more disobedient. But it is there for us when we are disobedient. And then Paul goes on to say to Christians, we are those who have died to sin. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in sin any longer? Pastor, when did I die to sin? You know, maybe like me, I grew up in church every Sunday from birth until high school. I cannot for the life of remember a time when I really understood this concept of dying to sin. It wouldn't be until I was in my early 20s that this concept became more real to me in a way that I could truly understand. The good apostle Paul explains how we die to sin through baptism, and then we're set free to take a hold of this life that God has for us. Read that scripture with me. All of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Just as Isaiah had his brothers show him a better way, a better life, we have Jesus who shows us a better way, a better life. You see, when we were baptized, we were plunged under the water. We were baptized then into the death of Jesus Christ. So just like Christ, when we're raised from death by the Father through the glory of the Father, we too are raised to new life. We are too raised to new life so that we should no longer be slaves to sin, but set free from sin. Sounds easy enough, right? Pastor, you got it right on the nail. Or the nail right on the head. Well, verse 8 goes on to say this. Read it with me. If we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Are you living with Christ? You are free to take hold of the life that Christ has. Have you taken hold of that life? You see, before Christ, we were living in sin. Paul says, before Christ, we were living in sin. In fact, as Scripture says, we were slaves to sin. And so we had put this on. This is the old life, where we followed our own desires and chased after what we wanted in the world. This is who we were. But that's not what Christ wants us to do. Christ doesn't want us to live as old. Christ wants us to live as new creatures. After we put on Christ, when we accepted Jesus, we were baptized into his death. We were also united with him in life. We were set free from sin, no longer slaves to sin. We took off the old life, and now we have a new life in Christ. We follow Jesus instead of following the evil desires of this world and chasing after the world. We chase after Jesus. Now, this is what happened, but I believe many who follow Christ really don't understand that the old self is gone and that we've put on a new self, a new life. I think what happens is we put on this new life, but instead of embracing the new,
We want the old back
because it was comfortable. Or we want to have it both ways, one foot in the world and one foot in the spiritual life. See, Bill was a successful lawyer in the midst of a soul-killing quest for worldly success. Bill writes of the day he set it all aside to fully put on Christ, and he did so, he says, with little fanfare. I let go of my desire to own something. I set aside my lifelong desire to be an owner. The succeeding months were a great adventure. I began to concentrate on what was sure in my life, the certainty of heaven and the place that Jesus had provided me. Those were his certainties. I found myself going to work with a crazy smile on my face. People came up and asked me, "What's wrong with you?" When I let go of my desire to become an owner, I experienced this marvelous freedom. I wasn't worried. I was freed up to do what God had called me to do. I saw my place in the firm differently. I saw that God had put me there to minister. I was a steward of relationships. I saw God had put a whole group of people around me who needed me to be their Jesus. I was their shepherd. I was their flock. Gradually, slowly, the Lord unlocked the grip of ownership from me and allowed me to move to a place where I just became his minister, his steward, and his manager right where I was at. Friends, truly, we are God's and God is ours. So let's take off this old self and get rid of it. And allow our new self to shine forth where you're already planted. You see, this is the choice. Paul goes on to say, in the image, in the same way, go to the next screen. Oh, you're there. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness, for sin shall no longer be your master. Will you revalidate the choice you made to follow Christ today? Will you recommit yourself to being a generous Christian who is alive to God in Christ, who doesn't let sin reign in their life, who offers themselves completely to God to be an instrument of righteousness? Will you do that today? You have received that prayer of promise commitment card, which we will place inside this treasure box here as a sign of our commitment to God, as a sign that we want to commit our lives not to the old way, but to the new way, not to be encumbered by sin, but to be set free from sin, to allow your new self to shine forth, to not chase after the world, but to chase after and follow Christ. It's a commitment to God. And we're saying to God, I want to be alive. I want to live in freedom, the life that you have given me to take hold of. I offer myself to you, you're saying. I want to live life generously with my time, with my talents, with all of my abilities. You're saying that I want to be an instrument that you wield to bring about justice and peace and wholeness in other people's lives, not just my own, as I serve in ministry to others who believe and in mission to those who have not yet known Christ. What you're saying finally is that I want to be your witness, God, that by my life I will love you and I will love my neighbor as myself, that I will forgive those who seek to hurt me, or those who have hurt me, those who have harmed me. I will forgive them. You're saying that I will pray for my pastor, my church, and for your will, God, to be done in my life and in the life of this church. Jesus shows us that a life lived in obedience to God is a rich life, is a life that is fulfilling, leading us to experience love in ways that we could never have imagined before, experiencing the grace and the peace of God in our lives. Who doesn't want peace in the midst of turmoil, even when life has its difficulties? We all say, yes, God, bless me. Bless me. So then let's order our lives that we might receive the full blessing of God. A full life. A life to take hold of and treasure. A life lived in freedom. Isn't that what everyone wants? Yes? Then let's commit ourselves this morning to God. To keep the new self on. To follow Christ. To not be encumbered by sin. But to enjoy life as God has meant us to enjoy it with His presence in our lives. Let us pray. Almighty God, we do want to seek You. We do want to follow You, to be Your servants, to live a life that is free. And God, we ask in Jesus' name that as we come forward in a few minutes, Lord, that You would draw us to Yourself, Lord, that You would help us to take hold of a life that is truly life, the life that You have offered us, the life which we now receive. In Jesus Christ's holy and precious name, and all God's people said. So what we're going to do in a moment here, if the band would come forward, or the parts of the band that need to come forward. As we have the prayer of, we have the box, the treasure box up here, and this is where we put our treasure. Don't want your checks, don't want your money, don't put it in here, because it's going to stay in here for a year, and then we're going to burn it. Because these are our own personal commitments that we're making to God. These are the commitments that we desire for God to see, and that we're going to seek to live by over the next few months, weeks, months, and years. So as the band begins to sing, we'll sing the song that we've been singing, Bless the Lord, My Soul. And as we get to the second verse, I want you to come up as you feel led by God and place your commitment, your prayer of promise commitment cards in the box. No one will ever see them. It's just between you and God.
Bless the Lord, my soul, and bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, who leads me into life.
It is blood.
Bless the Lord, my soul, and bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, who leads me into
to our foes.
Bless the Lord, my soul, and bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, who leads me into life.
As a father has compassion on his children, the Lord has pity on those who fear him. For he knows of what we are made. He remembers that we are dust.
Bless the Lord, my soul, and bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, who leads me into life. Bless the Lord, my soul, and bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, who leads me into life.
Almighty God, we thank you and praise you. And Lord, we, as we make these commitments to you, ask that your Spirit would remind us of them. God, that you would cause us to always seek to up our game, to follow you, to be more faithful to you, to be willing to know when we have done wrong and to ask for forgiveness and to seek to forgive those who have harmed us. Lord, help us to serve you, to worship in this congregation with you. And God, we give these commitments to you now. In the sure and certain hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, knowing that all who serve you will one day be with you in heaven, we give you the praise and the glory. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.